What's up, D.C., Maryland, Virginia? Welcome to the show. We're the Junkies on a Friday morning, on a football Friday. I'm Cakes, and I'm joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy? How are you? Hope all's well.
Doing okay.
Also joined by Jason Bishop.
Hello, John.
Hello, Jason. Joined by JP as well. I don't know if his audio is working at this point. We're efforting.
JP.
Patch him in here. As always, we are live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. It's very easy. You just go to cropmetcalf.com, and you can potentially join their team today.
So I was watching a game last night. And
what a poo game.
I don't know. It's kind of entertaining. I had like three different...
I mean, it was entertaining because it was professional football on a Thursday night, but the game wasn't that great.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. But because I had some props going, right? So I had Ryan Fitzpatrick over 22.5 completions, loser.
Right.
I had Gardner Minshew over 1.5 touchdowns,
loser. Didn't throw one.
Then I did have James Robinson under 75.5 rushing yards. That was a winner. But it was an overall loser. So it does keep you interested.
I'm in a bad mood.
Why?
I know you're
so
shocked
early.
By that.
Why? What's up?
Last night I was 4-14 in my plays, in my wagers.
Oh, that happens.
That'll get you nice and ornery on a football Friday morning.
Now, your college bets?
No, I only had one college play, and that hit. I had UAB last night. UAB rolled. Spencer Brown's legit. He's going to be a pro. Anyway, 4-14 last night. I didn't lose a lot of money because I don't put up a lot of money. I only lost about $92 in my online account. But I was 4-14 on my wagers. All the prop bets pretty much lost. I had Minshew over 1.5 touchdowns, pretty big. I had Keelan Cole over 59.5 yards, receiving yards, loser. I had the over in the game, loser. I really expected Jacksonville to score.
I thought Jacksonville was going to score too. I was really surprised that the Miami defense bottled up Minshew, and they were struggling.
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't look good. The over looked pretty good for a while there because it was 21-7 at the half, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I had 28 points. I should have had more, but so I had 28 points at the half, but they only scored 16 points the second half.
Well, when one of the quarterbacks doesn't throw any touchdowns, it's generally not good for your over.
Yeah, 4-14 last night.
It's not a good prescription for that.
Awful.
Yeah. It makes it fun, though. It does make it fun to have a little action on. It's so hard to pick winners. It's so hard. And even the props are so hard. But they're fun.
They're definitely difficult.
Now, Cakes, like I told you yesterday, I was going to hedge. Because remember I told you I was going against four Jags in my in the Nats Fantasy League?
Yep.
Well, Minshew,
you should be good. If you faced four Jags on one team, you should be sitting pretty in your matchup.
Yeah, Minshew had 9 points, so that's good. Now, Robinson had 27. He had two touchdowns.
He exploded,
He kept Chark in the lineup, didn't play.
Well, that's stupid.
And Cole only had 6 points, so he only got 42 points out of those four players.
I mean, we knew yesterday, I want to say at around 2 p.m., roughly, that Chark wasn't going to go. That he was questionable heading into it with a back/chest injury. And then the official news came out, 2 or 2:30. So you have ample time. You have 6 hours to digest that news.
Correct.
And I understand how some people say, well, you do a sports show. Of course you're going to know that. I have to work behind my desk, blah, blah, blah.
All you got to do is
Google
it.
I always get. Yeah, just look at your lineup. Look at your lineup, and when there's a red O or a D next to your guy's name, you're going to have to find a new guy.
Agreed.
You have to move on.
So anyway, so if I lose to this guy, he's 0-2. I'm 2-0. If I lose to the Swamp Donkeys,
you can't lose to that guy.
I'm just saying,
it's physically impossible. He has 40 plus points from four players, and you have your full battery of players going against him. Here's what I'm going to do, Jason, just for you. You may not like it.
Don't guarantee a win. Don't do it.
I'm guaranteeing your team wins this weekend. Right. Your team will win in that match.
Knowing my luck.
I personally guarantee it.
Knowing my luck, Travis Kelce will have 5 touchdowns. Hmm. And I'll lose by, like, you know, 3 points.
I'm going to guess Kelce under the 5. If that's a prop that I would bet confidently.
Anyway, Eric, I'm bitter too. 4-14, not good. Most of my props are losers.
Well, it was the first time, because I went to bed actually before the game was over. I hear JP's mic fumbling around.
JP.
I went to bed before the end of the game, though, so I did the old bit where I just logged into the account to see if it was swole or if it was,
it was lighter.
And it was a little lighter.
That's never the fun approach.
Well, it is kind of fun. If you go to bed and you feel like you're a winner, then you know, it's fun. I kind of felt like I was a loser. The way it was trending, I thought I was probably going to lose all 3. Thank God, even though James Robinson got in the end zone twice, he didn't go over 75 rushing, and he had a big day receiving. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, he had 6 catches, right?
Yeah.
6 for 83, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. It's my new thing now, the props. I feel like it's more fun and easier than just picking the winners. It's so hard.
Well, maybe I just made too many wagers. 18 plays in a
night. Yeah, I mean, you had a lot. I mean, did you have a vibe on all of them, or you just wanted action?
Well, look, I hedged on some of that because, like I said, I was going against all those Jags, so I hedged on a few of those plays. But my other plays I thought were good plays. I mean, I had the Nuggets, so I hit that. I had them plus 6.5. They lost by 6. That was one of my 4 winners.
You're dancing right on the edge with that number.
But I lost the under. I had the under 217.5 in that NBA game, loser. I did a parlay in the WNBA. I had the Aces in the Storm. I think the Aces lost. I don't know how. I just had a bunch of props, and they're just losers. Loser, 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 loser.
Now, did you watch any of the hoop? I watched very little.
I didn't watch any of that game.
Yeah, very little.
Mm-mm. I went to bed at halftime of the NFL.
Well, the Lakers take the 3-1 series lead over the Nuggets. They win 114-108, as Jason just touched on. I believe that was an under.
Yeah.
It's not an over. And AD and LeBron combined for 60 points.
Oh, no, that was a Lakers. That was an over.
Oh, it was an over. Okay.
Oh, yeah. 222? Yeah, it's an over. Total, I think, was 215.5, something like that.
So they might be able to get it done with just 2 big studs.
Well,
right?
They combined for 60, those two guys. I didn't see any of the game, but I read that in the fourth quarter when the Nuggets had made it close, they inserted LeBron off the bench after his little break, and then he guarded Murray. And I believe Murray – I don't think Murray hit a shot in the last 10 possessions.
Is that
He might have gone to the free throw line.
Well, he was on fire.
He was on fire early, and then LeBron guarded him in the fourth, midway through the fourth, and he didn't hit a bucket.
Right. But Murray played 45 minutes.
Finished with 32 on the night.
Yeah. Wow. It's big. It's kind of a coming-out party for him. Anyway, that looks like that one's done.
But it's a football Friday, my friends, and I'm sure you've been thinking about the Browns and Washington. That matchup.
I know. I don't know what to think of it. You know, we'll hit the Skins a little later, and we'll talk about Scott Turner, and he's been asked about the slow start and everything. He says, obviously, we want to get McLaurin involved. As much as possible, but he points out, you know, in a passing game, it's not like the running game where you can say, I'm just going to feed, you know, whoever your starting tailback is. He goes, in the passing game, you have choices. So you can't guarantee that that person's going to get the ball. If he's covered, you got to go to your next read.
Right.
So obviously they want to get it to McLaurin. They know he's their best player. And then they talk about pace, too. Which we can talk about later. I'm surprised. Washington is 8th, I think, in the NFL in pace of play.
Okay.
And he said that, and I think something like it takes about 24 seconds to get a playoff. He said the difference between 2nd and 8th is like 1 second. So they already play pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much faster they can go. Just need to play better.
Yeah, right. You knew that they would be at a much quicker pace than they were under Bill Callahan at the end of last year. You knew that coming in with Scott Turner.
It was so bad.
Even if this offense isn't creating a lot of points yet, you know that they're going to get more plays off and get more opportunities. And hopefully when, if and when Haskins improves, hopefully more points are scored.
Right.
And if and when Gibson gets more of a stranglehold on the rushing gig, being the number one back, which it looks like he's doing through at least two games, maybe he gets a little more comfortable in his role. And it starts finding the end zone.
To put it in perspective how bad they've been in the first half, no, it's only been two games, but they actually have more punts than they do points in the first half. I think they've punted 10 times.
And they only have 7 points in the first half.
And they have 7 points.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's not a good number. It's not a good stat for an offense.
So, I don't know. I was so kind of excited after week one. It's such an amazing defensive performance. You know, week two's performance was okay, but it wasn't nearly as dominant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unless we get one of those dominant performances, it could be ugly. So, yeah.
Something different. They got to score some points in the first half if they want to be in this game, because I'm pretty sure Cleveland's going to score some points.
I feel like when you play Baker, it's kind of like when you play Eli. Like, he's capable of doing some good things, but he could also, you know, keep you in the game too.
Your implied team totals at this point, what I'm seeing is Browns expected 25.5 and Washington at 18.5.
You know, I was looking at that yesterday. Eric and I made a small wager, head-to-head wager.
Yeah,
on
what
that.
Is our bet? It's just on over is 18 points. What is it?
What was it, 17 and a half?
17 and
so
a half,
so if you get
right
to 18, you win because you took the over. My side here on BetUS is now 20. They moved that team total up to 20.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
So that
that's
moved
a pretty
up.
Significant movement.
Yeah, so that moved up since Monday.
That
so that's
gives
good for
EB
me.
Significant movement.
That's yeah, we'll good see. For me. It's trending in the right direction there.
We'll see. it just means people are betting the over for them. So that's our little head-to-head last night, or right, for the, you know, the bet we made on Monday. By the way, I just looked at the numbers again. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 18 for 20 last night.
He was killing it. What were his numbers rushing, too? He had big rushing numbers and scored a rushing touchdown.
I know. We right, talked about doing that, too.
You had the rushing
go
prop.
Under. 38 yards rushing the rushing touchdown.
He got a lot of that in the first half, and I thought about doing it, but then I just got scared.
Got scared.
I'll tell you what about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is fun to watch, man, because he's got balls.
He's just a gunslinger.
He got knocked around.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He dives like head first.
He's reckless. Now he'll slide too, but like he'll put it out there.
He's not afraid of contact.
Yeah,
and you know, being an old guy, you know, barely hanging on or whatever.
Is he 37 or 38?
I think he's got to be 37 at least.
He's got to be. And, you know, he doesn't have the world's strongest arm, but it's strong enough. And his timing routes are pretty good. And, you know, when he's on, that's why he's so streaky. When he's on, he's pretty good.
His touchdown pass to Gesicki was really nice.
Yeah. Yes. He had a sideline pattern that was really good. He had one where a guy just broke off the ball.
Yeah.
And the difference was he was getting hit, and he just anticipated where he would be. And he didn't throw a missile like Haskins does sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean? He just threw it right in the right spot, and he ran right into it.
And he fit the ball into Preston Williams, too.
That was a great throw.
They did a little graphics package showing that he's amongst the league leaders, if not the league leader, in just fitting the ball into small windows.
Yeah.
He'll just jam the ball in there.
He throws a good amount
of picks sometimes, too. But
I think Matthew Perry, who does the fantasy stuff for ESPN, he says that Fitzpatrick is hit or miss, who obviously is.
Yeah, he's streaky.
So if he's hit, he's Fitzmagic. We've heard him, you know, everyone calls him Fitzmagic when he's really good. And then if he's bad, he's Fitztragic.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what it's like.
Which one do you get?
But last night he was Fitzmagic.
He's like a good Rex Grossman, right?
Yeah.
It's
probably a good comp for
just
him.
Decides to sling it.
I mean, if you think about
sling
his career,
it all over.
He's had an unbelievable career.
Comes out of Harvard.
He's only been a starter for about half his career, and he's played with how many teams now? Like six
know.
Or seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He set a record last night. Did you see the record he set last night?
No.
It's kind of stupid, but he's the first player since 1950 to beat at least one team with six different teams.
Right. Right. Shocker, it's the Jags.
The Jags.
Throttled.
So he's beat the Jags with six different teams.
Yeah.
I want to say it was Cincinnati, Buffalo, Tennessee, the Jets, Tampa, and then Miami. So
right.
I think those are the six teams. He's played with 100 teams.
Loves
he's
beating up on the Jags.
He's had an incredible career, really has.
He certainly
made
has.
A ton of money. right? He's different. He's always had that beard. He probably gets so much props and respect from his teammates. He's just a different dude. But he goes out there and he balls out when he can. He's tough.
He's got this is for the producers. He's got a ZZ Top beard.
Right.
Big, long,
definitely does.
Beard.
It's a hurting beard. I don't get sized for it.
Did you see what he was wearing post-game?
No. Post-game? I was asleep. Who would see that?
Maybe you guys saw it. You guys always say you see everything on Twitter.
What? Just tell us what he was wearing.
Basically Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, showing all of his chest hair.
Now, I don't think I would even know that reference.
It's a Broadway show.
It's very
show.
Colorful.
No, I mean, I've heard of it, but I mean, I don't think I would know, oh, that he's wearing a Joseph in the Technicolor dream coat.
It's just what I thought of. I don't think technically it was. I'm just saying he was wearing something
I see
gaudy.
Something. Yeah, I mean, it just looks like some terrible shirt.
He's a
with
different
chest
dude.
Hair popping out.
He's just
out.
Different. Yeah.
And it looks like he's just having fun with it.
He's
all.
Not your corporate CEO type quarterback like Breeze or Brady or Matt Ryan. He's not like that.
He's just
different. Got to take a break. It is a Football Friday here on The Fan. J.P. Finley's joining us at 7 as we hit the skins. John Feinstein at 8. We'll actually talk some movies with Kevin McCarthy at 9. And Stuckey's going to return, the sports betting analyst for the Action Network, at 9:40 to give us winners on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 6:45, we're going to give you our big fatties, our biggest locks of the week. Believe Cakes is off to a 2-0 start. The rest of us are sitting at 500.
It's a lock. I'm just picking overs every single week.
Yeah.
That's your brand. That's my
I've
thing.
Got it. Well, you know what? I've got an I'll over go this to. Week, too. I've got an over this week, too.
He's gone teaser nation every week.
Yep. He's got another one. And I'm guessing Washington is involved.
I got to think about it. I mean, I'll definitely put Washington in it. Yeah. I mean, if they get blown out, I mean, that's just going to be
that killed you last week, that meaningless field goal with 45 seconds left.
Yeah. Hurt me. It hurt me.
But Stuckey is on, of course, later in the show at 9:40. And the two plays he released last week, Boston College and college football, plus they were outright winner. And then he gave the Chargers plus against
the
Chiefs.
I hated the Chargers pick, and he was all over it. He was all over it.
I saw him tweeting about survivor picks. I guess a lot of people were picking his brain about who he'd go with in a survivor pick. And a lot of people were wondering whether New England was a good play this week. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was willing to commit on that. Have you advanced in your survivor pools? It's always funny that people get bounced like in week one or
I
week
have
two.
So far. I mean, it's 2 weeks. I think your clear play this week, if you haven't burned them yet, and I don't know why you would have, they're going to be popular, is
Colts.
The Colts at home yeah. against the Jets.
I read the Jets are, I think there's 13 or 15 players out.
Right. You don't get fancy in week three. You don't look at the Jags Dolphins and say, I think the Jags are going to win at home as a 3-point favorite. And then they lose by two touchdowns or whatever the final result was. You go with the big faves early. You don't make the fancy plays in week three.
Can I make a quick gambling gripe about Junkies listener Nubs Doug?
Sure.
All right. Very
please
quick.
Do.
So, he does his podcast, whatever, but he thinks he's so hot that he was giving out free plays yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he's always touting his record.
Yeah.
Well, his free play yesterday was Laviska Shenault over 3 catches and over 37 yards.
Right. Yeah.
Two different bets.
Okay.
First of all, I looked at the yards for Shenault on my site. It was 46. So right. I don't know where he's getting that line from.
Right. What did he give up?
Over 3 catches and
I think the Shenault line, I think that line moved because of the Chark news.
Okay,
Chark
so that,
not
that's
playing.
That's fine. They're minus each. They were minus 165.
Yeah.
I mean such overwhelming favorites that you got to bet a ton just to make a little bit of money, and then he's counting that as his 50-50 record. It's a little bit shady in my opinion. That's what Lurch does kind of.
What do you mean?
Well, Lurch, I remember when you were making picks, you were taking big favorites and then
right.
taking like them straight up.
Hey, you know what? at the end of the day,
it's a little fishy.
A win's a win.
You just want to bank wins, stack wins on top of each other.
But you're right. I mean, if the money line is near 2-1, you end up losing money because even if you split.
And he lost the yardage on Shell.
Correct. He had 5 catches for 33, so he split on that. But if you put even money on it, you're right, you lost money.
Right.
But I will say this. Doug, maybe in the free plays, isn't doing well. But for the plays that he gives out his players who actually pay for his picks, he is on fire.
I'm just ribbing him.
Does he have more than a handful of guys that are paying him for picks right now?
Oh, I think a few people get sized. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He and Skip, there's
so many.
It might only be 15
there.
Or 20.
Yeah.
But they've got guys who pay him.
Yeah. But as soon as they lose, do the guys bail and you have to get new guys, or do they hang in there?
I don't know how long guys.
I wonder what the turnover rate is.
But they buy a package, so they buy for the entire year. Like they'll sell their package for the football season. So.
Their turnover rate has to be equivalent to like fast food workers and radio sales accountants.
Right, I would totally think that.
But the way Doug makes money, all right, Skippy not so much because Skippy isn't putting this kind of money up. But Dougie makes money because of the amount of money he puts on each play.
Right.
Well, can't that end them up, with no money?
Poor.
Yeah. You can watch getting felted.
But for some reason, he's been hot for a year and a half. I don't know. It just happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's on a ridiculous run. Good for him.
I just think it's unsustainable.
But at some point, he's going to go on a cold streak.
Well, we're on to 500 starts, except for Cakes, the king of the over.
King of
so
the
we'll
over, baby.
So we'll do that at 6:45. Hey, we wanted to touch on our guy, Charlie Casserly.
Yeah, see?
And his comments on Dwayne Haskins. Charlie Casserly has been coming on this show since we were doing the weekends. Mm-hmm. And when we were doing TGI Fridays remotes. He's been great to us. Former general manager of the Redskins, now the Washington football team. Then he took over as the general manager of the Texans. And then he got into the media game and has been on the NFL Network and doing stuff for NBC Sports Washington for years. Well, he did an interview where he absolutely was praising Dwayne Haskins. And it's shocking the level of praise that came from Casserly.
What
so
was he Casserly saying?
Casserly said that he thought that Haskins has played well in both games. He said the ball's coming out quick. The decisions are there. You see the quick release. You see the poise. You see the toughness. Accuracy is better, which is a bit surprising because if you look at the numbers, he hasn't been that accurate. And then he goes on to say the Washington football team, got a quarterback. I don't have a question about that. Yeah, he'll miss balls. You can argue some of them should have been caught. On Sunday, maybe he was a little off, but some of them should have been caught. He made a lot of positive plays in the game, and he's reading the things.
I know.
He's reading the things?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I saw that, and I was like, wow, everyone's been kind of so hard on him. But Charlie, former general manager, longtime, league front office guy, likes what he sees. So
it's surprising when you look at the statistics. Like, some statistics can be misleading. I've always been a QBR guy, right? So the quarterback rating can be misleading. I think you mentioned this last week, Eric, mm-hmm. that, he had basically the exact same rating as Kyler Murray.
Right.
In the mm-hmm. old traditional quarterback rating that we're used to looking at. So that can be misleading. But QBR, to me, is supposed to be a little more accurate. And that's why, like a guy like Baker Mayfield right now, if you actually look at his QBR, he's ninth in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's playing better than what people think. But Haskins is way down there.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, he likes him. And if Charlie's listening and he wants to call in, I feel like he's still a little partial to Washington. He seems to give him the benefit of the doubt a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed that last.
By the way,
Haskins
is 33rd in QBR with 28.4.
Yeah, I don't.
33rd out of guess how many quarterbacks ranked? 33.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's seeing.
He has an affinity for must have an affinity for Dwayne. I don't know. I mean,
what is it? All
again,
bad luck.
He has more of a trained eye than any of us. So
he does.
He's seeing something there.
He does. And Orlovsky had good things to say, but he also had things he needed to work on. See, I'm more with Orlovsky where it's more of a mixed bag, where there are some decent things, but then you just see, like, the the unsettled feet, and you know that I see more inaccuracies than I do see a guy that's super accurate. Now he says he's getting some drops. I don't remember a bunch of like glaring, awful drops.
I mean, he's, you know, I think it's a little bit, it depends. Like, do you call it a drop or do you call it a quarterback who's zipping it in when he probably should have taken a little air out, like that potential touchdown pass to Logan Thomas last week? Like, to me, that was a bad throw. Could Logan Thomas have caught it? Did it hit him in his hands? Yes. But, I mean, he threw an absolute missile, you know, a little bit up high.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think you call that a drop. Maybe you do.
Well, Charlie has a trained eye, but other people that have a trained eye have criticized Haskins too. So
it's true.
You know, you've got to you can listen to those people as well. And at the end of the day, what are quarterbacks judged on? Two things: wins and how many touchdowns you throw. Yeah. It's pretty simple.
And he doesn't have many.
And if you don't throw a lot of touchdowns, you're probably not going to win many games.
He's a 32nd in accuracy. He's completing 56.3% of his passes. He's only thrown for 401 yards. It's hard to find a lot positive about what he's done. Now, he has taken care of the ball. So maybe Charlie has moved that he's taken care of the ball. And he is, you know, we heard this from Ron Rivera that he is apparently, you know, making the right reads. It's just that he's seeing where he's supposed to go with the ball, but he's not executing the pass. And maybe Charlie is just saying, well, I'd rather have the guy that sees it right, and eventually he's going to figure out how to connect.
Now, he's also been sacked 7 times and hit 19 times through 2 games.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that.
He's definitely under
equation.
Duress.
Yeah.
He's definitely under duress.
He's not sitting there in clean pockets with 4 or 5 seconds to scan the field and find his receiver or whoever he's going to throw the ball to.
Yeah. Now, one thing Charlie does say is he'd like to see them incorporate some more play action, and I agree with that. Open things up, give them some shots where he can make some chunk plays, because they're not getting enough of those, and he's right. So be nice. I'm just going to be fascinated to see what they do in the first half, what they come up with to try to get things going here. It'll be very, very interesting. They need some help from the running game for sure.
I think the most stunning thing about what Charlie said is it's the last thing that's in the article on NBCSportsWashington.com. He just said, I'm impressed with him. I just don't know many people are impressed with Dwayne Haskins through 2 games.
Well, maybe he's just looking at it as a guy, as a young quarterback who's playing his 9th game, and he's seeing enough, like, for a guy in that position. I don't know. Maybe he's grading him on a curve because he's young and inexperienced in what he's seeing so far. He's seeing the things he wants to see. Which, again, we've said it for 2 weeks. When Rivera says he's making the right reads, that's big. You know, it's just got to connect on him. So,
hey, look, Charlie has done fantastic things as a general manager in the league, but he also missed on some guys, too.
Right. Well, I think he blamed, like, Nor for some of that, right?
Okay, but with the Texans, he missed.
Yeah. Well, what hoarded with the Texans is when they did the expansion draft and he drafted guys like Baselli, and they just were hurt and they never got he made a big emphasis on the offensive line and none of those guys came through, the injury or whatever, and then Carr just got sacked 9 million times and then it was an uphill battle.
Hey, he picked Mario Williams over Reggie Bush. That was a good move.
He did do that. Yeah,
kudos for that one.
He got criticized too.
He definitely did.
He got criticized, but at the end of the day, I think he made the right play. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, hopefully, we'll be impressed by Dwayne Haskins this week against a Cleveland defense, which is average. Yeah. Joe Burrow had a big game against him. Now he threw the ball over 60 times, but he did have 3 touchdown passes against that Cleveland Browns defense. So you should be able to move the ball in the air against the Cleveland Browns. I mean,
should be. You're right.
I wonder if they'll incorporate some shotgun. Why wouldn't they do that? That's what Dwayne was really comfortable with in college. We've got a bunch of guys in the league that use shotgun. Why not? Why not incorporate that?
They haven't been in shotgun?
I mean, just more. Why not do more of it?
Well, they might. Remember, we played the audio yesterday of Rivera saying they want to get him in positions that he's comfortable with, including what he was comfortable with in college.
Right, right. So, good. You know what? The game can't come soon enough. I don't want the weekend to speed by. I want to enjoy it. But That can't come soon enough.
Back to your standard again, 1 p.m. kickoff.
Nice. Silly.
Again, he should have opportunity to shine. Browns 29th against the pass right now, giving up 300 yards per game through the air.
Right. Right.
They're a little bit better against the run. They're 6th against the run, 17th overall in the league through two games. So an average defense that has been shredded through the air thus far.
All right, when we come back, are we going to have to, are we doing our picks here?
Doing our big fatties. I can't believe who I'm going with. So we will do that next. We give you our biggest lock of the week. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 with our fatties here on The Fan on a Football Friday. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We got J.P. Finley from NBCSportsWashington.com joining us at the top of the hour as we hit the skins at 7 o'clock and dive deeper into this Washington football team matchup against the Cleveland Browns. Remember, later in the show, we've got Stucky to give us some big fat winners from the handicapper's perspective. But every week, we give you our fatties, our biggest lock on the board as we see it. If you had a survivor pool pick, that's the one you should take. If you want to make some money, that's the one you should take. I think Cake should lead off because you're off to the 2-0 start.
All right, I'm going to stay on brand. I'm not going to pick an under because unders are boring and they're stupid and they're very unfun, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I guess hold on. Unders are good because you're ahead for like 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, but nobody ever roots for an under. They're not fun. It's not fun to get involved in an
under. You don't
under.
Want to root for punts. I get
I'm
it.
All about the overs. That's why I will pick an over every single week.
By the way, we're 7-5 as a show. We are 7-5.
Very good.
All right.
It's not bad. Man. So I'm going to take, I've targeted the Atlanta-Chicago game. The number is 47.5. The Falcons average a combined 144 plays and 71 points in their first two matchups. Now, look, I understand that those were against Russ Wilson and the Drab Hawks and the Cowboys, two of the best offenses in the game. Russ was 31 of 35 for four touchdowns against them. Dak, 34 of 47, and he put up 450 passing yards. Now, Mitch Trubisky is not on that level, but through two games, he's got five touchdowns against just two picks. Neither team sacks the quarterback very well, so both quarterbacks should have ample time to find their targets. Hence, I like the over 47.5. By the way, EB, neither team's like Washington, who leads the league in sacks per game at 5.5. Neither team gets after the quarterback.
So this is the second consecutive week
WFT
that you have played the over in the Atlanta game.
Yes, I'm sensing a trend here. I'm going to bum hunt all season. If they keep showing that they can't stop anybody, I'll keep picking overs.
By the way, there's some hefty numbers, hefty total numbers in the in week three. You got Arizona Detroit's 55.5.
Yep.
Seattle, Dallas, highest of the week, 57. And then the Monday night game, KC and Baltimore, is 55. So you've got three totals in the mid to high 50s. That's pretty rare.
Just the way I like them.
Over how much?
Over 47.5.
47.5. All right. Let me piggyback on his because I actually like the Falcons this week. So the Falcons are laying 3. You know, we know that they have an explosive offense. They're the fourth best in the league. They're averaging 32 points a game. When you look at their opponent, the Bears, they're only putting up 22 points per game, and they escaped their last two games. They're 2-0, which is great, and I know that the odds are for you when you start off the year 2-0 to make the playoffs, but we all know that they're counterfeit. They beat the Lions and the Giants, both winless teams. They escaped. They rallied to win against the Lions, and they escaped in their win against New York Giants. Meanwhile, that Falcons team should have beaten the Cowboys last week. They put up 25 against the Seahawks. I think they get right in this game. Matt Ryan has a big game. I think they win big. So I'll lay the number, which I see at 3 for the Falcons against the Bears.
All right, Cakes, I'm going to also play an over this week. This is the first time I've played an over in this contest.
Okay, good. Welcome to the party.
And I looked at the Carolina Charger total, and I thought it would be more in the mid to upper 40s, but it's 43.5.
Right.
And both teams, both defenses rank near the bottom in yards allowed. Okay, now Carolina's much worse than the Chargers. Carolina's allowed 34 and 31 points so far this year. They're also both near the bottom of the league in third downs allowed, third down conversions allowed. They're both about 50%. So the defenses really can't stay off the field. So, and I like the fact that Herbert's going to start again. Okay. Now, he's going to make some mistakes. Okay. Because he's a rookie, second start. But I think that their offense is going to spark a little bit more than if Tyrod was in it. So I like the over 43.5, even though McCaffrey's going to be out. That hurts the Carolina offense, but I just think Bridgewater's going to throw a lot more. And I think they may be playing from behind here. So I'll go over the 43.5 in the Carolina Charger game. That's a 405 kick on
Saints. I like your electricity pun, how their offense is going to be sparked by Justin Herbert. I like it. I like what you're doing.
Well, I mean,
there.
He's the future. He's obviously
he
the
is,
future.
He is, yes.
And he looked good last week.
All right. I'm going to, you know, I always have to somehow incorporate Washington because that's who I care about the most. And, I'll take them plus 13. They boned me last week. I always like to do a little two-gamer. It's very difficult to hit them. I'm usually about 30% on these things. But I'll take this Washington plus 13, and then I'm going to pair it up with – I think Arizona. I was pretty darn impressed with Kyler Murray, and they've got the Lions this week. Arizona's averaging 27 a game. Matt Patricia, he's in trouble there.
He stinks.
Yeah, I don't think they're very good. You know, I was breaking that one guy's balls that was talking about Kyler being an MVP candidate at the quarter poll. He might be right the way he's playing. So I'll take Arizona just to win, and then Washington plus 13.
Okay.
If I lose that, then it's just over, and I just got to stop betting on Washington.
You might have to find a new strategy heading forward.
Yeah. I mean, typically I like them plus the points, but.
All right. We'll see. All right, Drabby, you're up next.
All right, I'm glad I'm next because I'm also interested in one of those teams. People say the NFC West might be the best division ever, and all four teams can make the playoffs. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are that good. I watched them last week, obviously. Yeah, they beat down the Washington football team, but I still think they're not quite as good as everyone is overhyping them. I saw FanDuel put out this week that 93% of the money is on the Cardinals to cover against the Lions. That's a red flag to me. I think the Lions still have enough offense. Their defense is trash, of course. But Stafford's going to throw for 300 yards, and he's going to hook up with Galladay, and they're going to keep it close. Last year, they played in that amazing game that went to overtime. They tied. I think these teams are not that different. So 5.5 is a lot of points for me. So I'll take the Lions.
You got six.
I'll take six.
He'll take that extra
because
half
Bick,
point.
Because Bick just used six for his tee, so you get to use six.
Yep.
That's funny how you were just trashing Detroit in week one when I picked them, and you went opposite.
I'm all over the place.
You're all over the place.
It's a week-to-week league?
It is. That's true.
Week-to-week league, for sure.
All right, Valdez.
All right. I should be 2-0. I don't know how the Jets 49ers under didn't
well,
come
Well, you got
in.
A meaningless – Berrios scored a meaningless touchdown with a minute 33 to play to push it over the total.
Yeah, Mostert ran for 80 yards first play of the game. I don't know how that thing went over 42. But – I'm seeing the board great right now. I'm going to go with Buffalo laying the 2.5 at home against the Rams. I'm buying into the Allen hype. I think he's a much improved passer. I think he's very dynamic on the ground. I think he has a great connection with Diggs. So I'm buying into the Bills. I'm buying into Allen. I think it's a statement game for Buffalo. So I'm laying the 2.5 with the Bills.
By the way, do you know how happy Stephon Diggs is to be in an offense that actually cares about passing the ball downfield in Buffalo as opposed to Minnesota? His targets in the first 2 weeks in Buffalo equal his targets in the first 5 weeks in Minnesota last season. So he's getting heavily featured. I believe last week he had four catches of 20-plus yards in one game.
Yeah.
Would he ever do that in a Mike Zimmer offense? The answer is no.
John Brown's feasting off of it too,
and Brown's a little bit dinged up, so maybe Diggs eats even more this weekend.
Is Brown going to play?
He's questionable. He'll probably play, but he's nursing
a little
an injury.
Nicked up.
Yeah.
So you've got the Bills getting to 3-0.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, not totally surprising. Actually, most of us picked Buffalo to win the division.
I don't think I did.
Took New England.
No, I think.
I don't think I did. Yeah. Not a Bills guy. A Josh Allen guy.
I picked Minnesota to win their division. That's one I want back. That's why I'm stumping for in 2021. Everybody gets a breakfast.
Well, I mean, the Minnesota thing is perplexing because, I mean, love him or hate him, Cousins isn't the worst quarterback in the league. I mean, he's going to play better. I mean,
well,
what is going on?
He was last week. He was the worst.
Understood. But it's, you know, come on. He's got too much of a track record. to be playing like this. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think Diggs is also happy because he's got a more likable quarterback. I just don't think Cousins is likable. You always called him phony.
But I think he's likable.
The Eddie Haskell.
Oh, yeah. But I think he's likable.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I just think he might be all about Kirk. And, I think he kind of makes excuses when he really plays bad. I don't know. I just think Diggs is happy for a number of reasons.
I know he's weird. But didn't they break his balls for cooking a steak with tinfoil underneath it?
Yes. Yeah.
On the grill? Which kind of defeats the whole purpose. The
steaks didn't look that palatable. They didn't look great.
But look, that's what winning does, right? If you're winning, you're going to be happy in any situation. And right now, Diggs is winning in Buffalo, and Minnesota's not.
The problem is, Diggs is now in a new location. Everybody keys on Thielen, and then nobody else can threaten downfield. Right. So, I mean, he's all bottled up. He doesn't know who to throw the ball to.
All right, so just to recap. All right, I take the over 43.5 Carolina Chargers. JP Atlanta minus the 3. Cakes over Atlanta Chicago 47 and a hook. Bick tees Washington Arizona. Right. Drabby Detroit plus the 6. Detroit's plus 6. And then Valdez Buffalo minus 2.5.
If you missed it, we'll get it up at Junks Radio on Twitter. Coming up next, we hit the scans at 7 o'clock every morning. We'll talk to JP Finley, insider for Washington Football on NBC Sports Washington, next here on The Fan.